Welcome, Register Readers!
Hello, one and all. This is Ashley Vance bringing you episode 15 of Open Season. That was Matt Acey back to the show after a one-week hiatus. And we've got Dave Rosenberg from RealSource on the line as well. Matt, stunning introduction as always.
Let's not call it a hiatus. Let's just be honest about what it was. You guys tried to cut me out.
And
we'll do it again.
Was some brutal negotiating behind the scenes.
Just because Ash and I sit around all day and you were out on the streets doesn't mean that we shouldn't do podcasts. Our lives are empty.
Cote was too expensive for us, and we had to bring that back.
Cote didn't really have anything to say negative about Novell, and therefore
I don't anymore either.
I've got nothing to say about Novell. I got Twittered after Matt, you missed that. I got Twittered about mocking that guy from Novell. And I wasn't really even mocking him personally as much as the company. And now I've been
skeptical.
Ever
Twittered? Because somebody, how would you know that you Twittered?
Someone told me, hey, I just got this thing on my Twitter that said you said X. And I was like, what the hell are you talking about?
You can feel it in your tweet hole. It's magic. It's the magic of Web 2.0.
Well done.
Thank you. Thank you. So I see in the show notes someone is claiming that it's Cloud Week everywhere with IBM.
It's Cloud Week.
What is that? What are you talking about? You're talking about with Microsoft, these container data centers in Chicago,
yeah.
And IBM.
Yeah, exactly.
With its blue jean
boxes.
Everything's
in the cloud this week, man.
What did HP and Red Dog do? I miss that.
Red Dog is the Microsoft initiative or whatever they're calling it. And HP...
Right.
Is also talking about they're now going to run SAP and Exchange in their data centers for people, which is really not that impressive. And in fact, in typical HP fashion, it sounds like 5 years ago, the kind of things that they're talking about. But it's all about the cloud, man. Everything's in the cloud.
That Microsoft one's pretty crazy. It's got like they're going to do 180 to 220 of those white trash data centers in a container, bring in the wife beaters and... crack open some Pabst.
Yeah, you get around the data center on a crappy motorcycle.
But that's pretty gung-ho. As far as I can tell, I think Sun may have sold them those containers, although Schwartz would not confirm or deny.
Well, I had this whole thing I blogged about somewhere about the cloud and the fact, because Google came out with the App Engine. And it's sort of interesting, but I mean, you're now really reliant on Google, which I think if there's going to be one thing that's going to make people all of a sudden realize just how weird that is going to be this. And it only runs Python, so it's basically like, hey, I can put Python on a server on Google, but who cares?
What is Google App Engine?
I saw
the headline, but I didn't read any of the articles. What is it?
It's basically like a sandbox, if you will, it's the Google computing infrastructure that you can use as a developer to put your applications, run your applications on top of the Google infrastructure. But it's just kind of limp because it only does Python and you actually have to upload scripts and stuff. It's not like there's a whole, you know, like browser-based interface or whatever else. It's still really developer-centric and I don't know, it's kind of lame, but it led me to realize that the problem with all of these things is the fact that we need a higher level, well, I should say maybe we need a lower level programming language in the cloud. Like PHP gets you pretty far, but Python doesn't really get you very far. And I thought that whole Salesforce.com Apex thing was so stupid, and then all of a sudden I realized that you can't get any complexity without a real programming language, no matter what anybody says. I mean, it's even if you had .NET in the cloud, there'd be a lot more functionality available.
Well, and so somebody's got a note about Java in the cloud and what Sun is doing. And just this week, Sun is always, you know, is late to the game, but kind of comes out talking big at their labs event. They showed off this thing called Project Caroline, which is essentially exactly what you're asking about. It's kind of...
It's not quite. I looked into that, too. It's sort of... It's close, but I mean, it's still not... Like, it would make sense if there were a Java distribution that you ran in sort of a multi-tenant cloud environment. And the Project Caroline, right?
Yeah. How's that not what they're doing?
Well, because what they're doing is they're still only opening up things like PHP. Right? It's still not Java.
Hmm.
So this is more like... I would say that this is kind of like gritty, more of a grid sort of platform kind of thing. I don't know. It's close. I'm just not sure it makes – it's just not totally clear as to what it does yet or why it matters or if it matters.
I guess Suns is released under the GPL V2, so as far as that matters, I guess it's a – I don't know if that actually makes it more open, but perhaps.
Does it, I don't know.
Have either of you checked out Bungie Labs thing?
Bungie Labs is much closer, yeah.
Okay,
but the problem is that you need to embed a Bungie Labs into a SaaS app, or they have to become so big that the fact that they're – so they have a challenge, I think, in that the applications that they build are totally proprietary. And not so much like, you know, you couldn't get the source code or whatever else, but that it only runs on their platform.
Well, yes, although they have – I mean, so Truth in Advertising, I'm an advisor there. They do have plans to let you take line your code and be able to take that code elsewhere, but I think that's I'm not actually sure if I was allowed to say that, but that's I think out in the out
no the they've said that and that is logical. But I mean, so if you talk to I met with a couple of big SaaS companies over the last couple of weeks here, and if you talk to them, they recognize that like Salesforce by far has this dialed in more than anybody else, and that's like that, as I said, the Apex thing just seemed so stupid. But you can't have any application functionality. You know, you can basically have more web functionality with like a PHP or something like that, but you need a hardcore programming language to be able to do advanced stuff in general, right? You couldn't, for example, have Alfresco running in a cloud or in a multi-tiered cloud if you didn't have Java running up there. And you couldn't build in complicated functionality without it. And so I don't understand. It seems to me like if Sun had thought this through a little bit more, because even the Project Caroline, its ProjectCaroline.net website is all about grid computing. It doesn't have anything.
Why don't you guys fire that up over at MuleSource, man?
I've looked at this a lot. I mean, there's a bigger challenge here in all this kind of stuff. And, I mean, there's no business there yet, so that's why, like, there's a lot of companies who are looking at the cloud. There's, like, Cohesive FT, who is pretty cool, who do these they basically allow you to roll images of applications, and then you can run them on EC2 or, you know, just a VM image, which is kind of cool. There's another company called Alastra who allow you to basically provision a database running on like EC2 or another cloud environment, and then have management tools, which is pretty cool. I mean, there's a lot of interesting stuff, but there's no business there yet, and I don't know that there ever will be.
Are you cloud-tastic, Matt?
No. No, Cloud I'm Fresco. Not.
I'm going to go register at cloudfresco.com.
What do you? Yeah, you should.
No, although, kind of on a related thing, there's something to that. Google is. I keep hearing Google come up more and more often in the unlikeliest of places. So, I mean, Dave and I had this conversation with I don't know who was it, Larry Augustin, and I think Cody actually was there as well, and a few others a week or two ago at MuleCon. About how Google never finishes its products. They're always in eternal beta, and nobody gets paid there to do the gritty work of finishing things. But I've been shocked in the last 2 weeks. I've had conversations with senior IT executives at Fortune 10 and Fortune 100 companies that are actively considering Google Apps. And it's been mind-boggling to me because I've used them, and I think they're great. I mean, we use them for the show notes here for Google. We used Google Docs for the open season show notes. But these are big companies considering moving, rather than upgrading to, what is the next, Office 2007, rather than making that upgrade, wholesale going Google Apps. And it's just it's shocking to me.
Yeah.
But what they're saying is that it's because Google is so hyper-efficient at provisioning users. They can put at $50 per year per user. And again, these are big companies. They're saying that Google is just much more – Google can do it at a much lower price point than they can, because it costs them – in the case of one of these companies, it costs them $200 per year per user to provision them with Microsoft Office and all this crap. And Google can do it for $50. And the price, the economics of it are just too compelling that they're all being forced to look at it. Now, it may be that they're all going to look at it and just throw up on it and say, no, there's no way we can run our company on this. But it's been shocking to me how many people are actively considering that, at it.
You guys are Zimbra users, Matt?
We are, and I'm a very, very happy Zimbra user right now.
We're Zimbra as well, although we've had some challenges But we're getting great help from those guys. We looked at the Google apps repeatedly, and the management function was definitely one of the biggest appeals. But that said, there's also things like with the email, for example, you can't run backups real easily, right? You're just sort of betting that it's going to continue to work. And you have some typical enterprise functions that are not there that you get from a Zimber or an Exchange or whatever else, that there's going to be a huge set. I think that the big thing here, though, is there is a huge set of the population where that simply doesn't matter. But if you have to deal with like IT compliance issues or, you know, the governance risk, stuff, I think there's going to be a bigger challenge there. But I agree, man. They make it incredibly easy to use. And as to whether or not it ever gets finished with the apps, I still have Gmail break on me all the time. It almost doesn't matter for a lot of the population of users.
Well, changing direction because I think Google apps blow. Let's talk about Levanta dying.
That Google apps blows, but Levanta, no.
Levanta rules.
It blows more.
Just 2 years ago, I watched the CEO of Levanta win an award at Linux World. Best product of the year. Look at it now.
So they used to be LinuxCare, right?
They were LinuxCare. I wrote a big story for Slashdot in 2005 about how LinuxCare, you know, just blew up. And my correlation, by the way, is SpikeSource, and I'm right.
Yeah, well, LinuxCare had like all this money from Dell and some other guy.
$115 million, something like that. They had Linus on the board, and they were terribly mismanaged.
So what's the deal? Because everyone at these conferences always bitches about how, you know, Red Hat doesn't do enough to kind of support these application stacks and everything. But I mean,
yeah, but
there's no demand there.
But people talk about that, and it's just not true. I'm not saying it's for Red Hat. It's just not when somebody wants support for, they're looking for an application, and they're ultimately going to depend on whoever the application provider is to support the stack underneath it. I mean, to a certain extent. I mean, if somebody buys Alfresco, they're not going to expect us to support Red Hat. They're going to have a support subscription with them. But they do expect us to support pretty much everything else, and we do. And I think the whole premise underlying LinuxCare, underlying SpikeSource, originally SpikeSource, has changed its model since that original premise. I think it's fundamentally flawed, and who knew going into it, and I don't blame anybody, because going into it, everybody thought, yeah, people want support for their open source stack, and it makes a lot of sense, but just turns out that they get that support from an alternative source.
I'm not sure it ever made sense, by the way, but I do agree that, you know, if you have subcomponents, which Alfresco maybe has, I don't know, Tomcat or whatever else, there's subcomponents, the vendor has to support those, or else the app doesn't run, so it's a part of the path. But I never really agreed with the whole stack vendor thing, because no enterprise has the same set of stuff ever. And if you were going to buy from those guys, you were going to be required to use the version that they gave you, not the one that you were already using. And it, you know, it didn't meet the vendor's model, but from the IT buyer side, it never made a lot of sense. And just, you know, I never got it to begin with. And now all those companies have morphed into different things, but they were stupid to begin with and they remain stupid.
What about
Levanta? What happened?
So, I mean, they're just totally done.
No, they've changed. I mean, they've all changed models.
No, Levanta.
Oh, Levanta is done, yeah.
Yeah.
Does that mean I can get the URL?
I'm thinking about using it for a muscular backache formula. Sounds like that would be right. Like, oh, I strained a muscle and I took a Levanta. 2 hours later, I was ready. You know, I was out riding my bike.
Should definitely be some kind of sexual stimulant for open source users. What about this Plathom? Is that what it's called that you wrote about, Dave?
Yeah, Plathom. Yeah,
that's kind of cool. It's like
it's cool. I don't know what the hell you'd use it for. Carry around a tiny little Linux box with you.
It's like a hand-sized Linux server?
Yeah, exactly. Right? And they have a ton of these things in like monitoring and, you know, HVAC and like just general systems stuff. Really cool little box. I mean, I don't know what I would do with it, but it's interesting. And it's open source, you know, so it's exciting.
Who sells that? That's the name of the company?
It's the name of the company. It's Japanese, and they've been around for 15 years or more.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, but, I mean, who the hell knows anything about Japanese companies, right?
And then also, I think last week, I think it was the Linux Foundation that kind of released their usual study on the contributors to Linux, and somebody here seems to know the statistics. I know Red Hat was still at the top, and I think Novell was number two.
Red Hat was at the top. And Novell had actually, It had been, I can't remember the numbers, it had been like 3-point-something% and jumped to, I want to say, 8.9 or something. But Red Hat dropped from 14-point-something% to 11-point-something%. It was interesting. I mean, and I got a backstory from somebody who used to be involved with OSDL, that the numbers are maybe not all that accurate, but that in fact a ton of the work is being done by IBM and Intel and whatnot, and for some reason I don't know why, but they don't show up in that report. But I do think it's interesting that, that Novell has ratcheted up its contributions that much more. They must have hired a few people, a few active contributors. I mean, that's the only thing that I can think of, because you can't just crack a whip over somebody and say, write three times as many things that'll get accepted into the kernel tomorrow.
But I would wonder if perhaps also from the Novell side, it's the OpenSUSE stuff, because now that that's actually being donated back and not just going directly to SUSE, if that also helped the percentages.
That could be, yeah.
Well, where does Canonical stack up then?
I don't remember. I don't
tell Linux Foundation, SGI, MIPS, Oracle, Mata Vista, Lundtronix.
A lot of it's
the hell was Lundtronix?
Probably an embedded provider.
So maybe it's Lantronix and they just spelled it wrong here. That's going to be my guess. I think it's Lantronix, actually. Okay, nice job. Well, I'm going to go register Lundtronix.
Okay. You're like a storage appliance, man. So SGI is still working on just kind of beefing up Linux pretty actively, I guess.
How do you know SGI was even in business anymore?
Oh, yes.
I had an SGI 02 when I worked at Lucent. It was awesome. It was blue, and it was so fast and cool.
One of their investors is trying to take them private. So, but didn't they, I thought those statistics, I thought they had, like, IBM on there.
Well, they do have them in there, and so that's why I'm not sure what he was getting at. He was somebody who would know.
So maybe it's just not as high as it could be for some reason.
Yeah. That's, I mean, it's interesting. What it ultimately means, I don't know. I mean, I do think that of that list, looking at, I mean, Novell, and I haven't been a big fan of Novell, but Novell has been actively trying to do something with its business over the past year, and Red Hat has been in execution mode just trying to make the JBoss acquisition work, and, you know, that wouldn't affect the number of contributions their developers make to the kernel, but it is kind of reflective of an overall overarching theme of Red Hat holding itself up in Raleigh and just working on its business while the rest of the industry goes around. And that's traditionally it's worked for Red Hat. I mean, they let performance, or I think they would say that we let our performance speak for itself, but I think they need to take a more active role in leading in the industry again. Just me, and they would probably dispute that they've done anything differently and that they need to do anything differently, but I think they do.
I think that they need to be important again. They sort of, everyone knows about it, and it's kind of like, okay, that's the Linux distro we're going to use. But in comparison, like an Oracle, who make really a lot of crappy products, they make themselves important. And I think a big part of that is just the perception. Part of it's the Valley. Part of it is just, you know, more marketing. But that seems to be what's missing on the Red Hat side.
What about, Microsoft, Sam Ramji? So he's replaced Bill Hilf. Is that right, Matt?
Well, I've talked with Sam since then, and I didn't actually ask that question. I think Bill's role was actually larger than that. I think he's Windows strategy, isn't he? I mean, he's...
Yeah, oh, you're right. I think he got some kind of promotion. So, but now Sam is heading up the open source.
Yeah, and Bill has been surprisingly silent over the last 6 to 9 months. We haven't really heard of him, and I think he is focused more on the Windows platform strategy now as a whole, and Sam has taken over all the open source stuff. Sam is fantastic. I think he's a really, really good person, really earnest person. It's an open question, however, whether or not he can actually do anything. And I heard from a very prominent free source proponent recently that he thinks that there are significant swaths within Microsoft that actively want to open up in some way, whether that's open source or open APIs or open standards or something, true open standards. But that it's Steve Ballmer that's the big hurdle to overcome, and he is a big hurdle. Ray Ozzie, I think, is on the side of openness, and I think there are a lot of others within the company who are on the side of openness, but Ballmer just can't get it through his head.
What are the odds of Ballmer getting bumped out after this Yahoo thing goes awry? There's some question marks there. I mean, Microsoft runs a good business, and obviously they need to modernize, and they have not done that well, and Vista is absolute crap. You blogged about that. But there is sort of this bigger question of, like, when this goes wrong with Yahoo, which it seems inevitable, who's going to go replace him? And does that maybe mean that, you know, whatever it is, in a year or two, that maybe Microsoft really will start to go more open? Maybe it'll be Ray Ozzie. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean,
are you guys,
like, it's clear this is going to go wrong. They've yet to articulate why this Yahoo thing is good for Microsoft or Microsoft shareholders or anything else, with the exception of saying Google has too much advertising power.
Well, I just wonder. I mean, don't you guys think, I mean, the advertising stuff is just kind of the sideshow, and that Microsoft sees Yahoo as just a way to get around the restrictions around bundling software on the operating system, so now it can just shove stuff like Silverlight, you know, as a download through Yahoo.
Well,
I mean, why isn't anyone bringing up these antitrust kind of issue?
I mean, it could be that, but I mean, maybe optimist, glass half full person that I am in their regard, I'm actually kind of hoping that it's a way for Microsoft to do the opposite of that, and that is that this may be their way to finally embrace all this software that they haven't been. I mean, if they try to ram all the Microsoft infrastructure and Microsoft software down Yahoo's throat and Yahoo's users' throat, I think it's just, I mean, Dave said it's a train wreck. I think that makes it like 20 times worse. I just don't think it can work that way. I think Microsoft has to let Yahoo be Yahoo and let some of that more open culture where open source is used all throughout Yahoo. It's gotta pervade Microsoft or else they're completely gonna screw everything about that acquisition.
I think it's kind of two different issues, though. I mean, you're talking more from like an infrastructure sense. Like, if Microsoft wants to do this kind of, just like you guys were saying, people are taking Google Docs seriously. So if Microsoft wants a leg up in distributing something like online applications, you know, why wouldn't it go through Yahoo and say, here's your Office suite now off the Yahoo front page? Or if PC makers are blocking it from putting its media player on instead of something else, then it's, you know, you just...
Well, it's a good point. I think that strategy makes sense. And maybe that's why they're not talking about it, because they know that that's the way in. I just still question how relevant a lot of the stuff that Yahoo has is going to work for them. You know, and Matt's point is that, let's say for the sake of argument, that all of a sudden MSN is now Yahoo, you know, whatever it is, that Yahoo Finance is now MSN Finance, and now your Office docs or your Office Online docs are part of your Yahoo calendar, whatever the case is. I just don't know if it matters. I mean, it's hard to see where it really becomes hugely monetizable in general, with the exception of advertising.
Yeah, but it might not be... You know, it's all speculative still, because you just don't know how all this cloud stuff is going to play out. But if you accept that, you know, the online Office suite is moving to free and that you have to find some business model around that, and you've had billions of dollars in Office software sales, then at least if it's moving to free, you've got to make sure that all those people you used to have, are as many as possible, are on your platform still, right? And then try to find a way to make money off it.
But then why didn't they do this when they knew that this was, I mean, it's been 5 years or whatever that this has been going on,
they
should have done this thing.
Microsoft speed.
Yeah.
why does it take them so long to do anything?
Well, but I mean, it just shows that, I don't know if it's that the company is just too big and really does need to be figured out in a different way, but if they can't do these kinds of things, they're not going to be relevant.
So
I don't know. I don't see it. I don't see why this whole Yahoo thing makes a lot of sense. And I think Yahoo now, did you see that they're going to push out some ads via Google or use some Google ads? I mean, it's just so lame at this point. Yahoo is, you know, they had the opportunity. They could have made this right. And now they're just going to, it's going to be ugly and it's not going to be good for anybody.
You know, when you start partnering with AOL as like your last-ditch hope.
Game over. It reminds me, I'm going to partner with AOL this afternoon.
You're in trouble. So,
that's what Levanta did. That's what happened.
Matt, you guys had like a big deal with Adobe, didn't you?
Adobe is using a product, using alfresco in one of their products.
that I can comment on because Adobe commented on that. Yeah, they're in the Adobe Share product. It's got Alfresco at its heart.
So what's the product?
It's kind of cool product. It's actually, I mean, speaking very frankly, they've made Alfresco look a heck of a lot better than Alfresco did. So if you go and use it, like all the rich internet side of it, the Ajax-y side of it is very cool. It's, I guess it wouldn't be Ajax, but,
Flex?
But no, yeah, it'd be Flex. You can go in there and, I mean, it's at its most basic. It's just a place to store documents, but like I've started using it for, I had to send Zach Urlacher over at MySQL. I had to send him pictures from the open source Goat Rodeo. And there was, you know, it's like, I don't know, 50 meg of pictures. And so rather than sending those, I just uploaded them all to Adobe Share. It was really fast. It's kind of like using Flickr. I suppose I could have put them on Flickr, but I was trying to make it a little, I wasn't publishing them to the world. I was just publishing them to Zach. And then I just shared it with Zach, kind of like how we do with Google Docs for this. How you just email the link to somebody and they're the ones who are authorized to use it. It's really cool. And I mean, if you go in and play around with it, and then you can convert everything to PDF, of course, and typical Adobe stuff. But it's, the interface is, I think, really cool on it. You can drag things around and whatnot.
So did you guys check out this Adobe Media Player? And I'll apologize if either of you are somehow involved, but man, did you guys look at it? It's a piece of junk.
I looked at it. It wasn't great.
And it took me I had to click, I think it was like around 30 times to install all the shit you needed to get it running.
It's unfortunate. I played that same game.
Unbelievable.
I gave up, actually.
Isn't that the Microsoft Silverlight thing that you're suggesting that they're going to go
out? It's Air. Isn't it Air?
It's Air.
Yeah, Air is actually, some of the apps, like once you have Air installed and use it, it's really cool. I like the blending of desktop and the web.
No, it's a good idea. The Adobe thing is just really clunky and like nothing is where it should be as far as like a search box. It took me like, you know, a minute to find the search box when I was looking to kind of search through their content. And then the whole thing just seems like this huge weight on your desktop. I could just not.
Well, my only real complaint with Adobe, because I generally have had good experiences with the products and the company, is that this stupid, like if you have Photoshop on your computer, their updater program is so burdensome. It asks you if it can update itself all the time.
Yeah.
And so it's like, can the updater update you? And then I've never had an application take as long to update and install as these Adobe things.
It's insane, right? And
there's like 15 of them every time.
The GUI, the GUI looks like it was built at like Xerox PARC or something, man. Like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, it's like a wooden mouse you need.
Oh, dears. Well, boys, I think we might, unless somebody has...
A couple of rumors that we should mention.
Do tell.
The first rumor is that Microsoft apparently is thinking about opening retail stores like Apple.
Yeah, so I saw that on I don't know, Dig or something like that, and I was going to blog it, and then I thought this isn't real, and so I just discarded it. Is that?
I've heard it now from a couple of different places.
To sell what?
Who they want to
do their own Apple stores where they have like the Google or the Microsoft. I don't know. Maybe they have lots of boxes of software and Zunes.
Steve Ballmer punching dolls.
You know, this is if there's any truth to it, it will be an exercise in both futility and disaster. Because the one thing that Apple has is really good design taste and aesthetics and whatnot, and Microsoft does not. Period. End of story. Yeah. And you see, like Microsoft, you go into it, a Microsoft store is going to look like a Walmart.
If you're lucky, it'll look like Walmart. It'll look more like a country fair. You know, everything is boxed. You order a corn dog, and it somehow comes in a really elaborate box discussing all the ingredients and why the corn flour is even better this year.
That's one.
And the other rumor is that there's a open source company on the East Coast, that's as much as I'll say, that's going to have a new CEO shortly.
Spring! Beard!
Different. That's a different one. They're on the West Coast.
Are you talking about IBM?
We are not. It's an open source, theoretically open source company. A company that plays in the open source space.
Say this again. It's an East Coast company.
Yep.
That's going to have what?
New CEO shortly.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Are they a
competitor? It's a rumor.
About Fresco?
What? Maybe. No, I don't know. I don't think so. Maybe it's a different one. Dun, dun, dun.
Why can't you just say
the
name?
The open source community. I'm not saying. Are you? I don't want to get in trouble.
You privy?
Because it's me! No, I'm just kidding. I wouldn't do this again for $1 billion. Well, I take that back. For $1 billion, I would.
There it is. Anyone who wants Dave is your CEO.
$1 billion. Done. And done.
All right, fellas. Well, thank you as always, and thanks to our listeners.
To
yeah, I'm heading off to London. I'm going to see Mark Shuttleworth, which is the thing to do.
Are you really going to see him?
Yeah, I'm going to follow the trail of crying rodents until I find his house, and that's
and
what.
And Matt, where are you going next week?
I'm going to London too.
Oh, hey, dinner, man!
Look at that. I'm going to be in San Francisco.
I'm there all week. Should we do the other Indian restaurant?
Well, I don't get there until the 19th. When do you leave?
Whatever Saturday is.
That's the 19th.
Well, then I'll just drink.
I was going to take you to that other Indian restaurant. I went there the last time I was there.
So that you went to Benares?
Yeah,
that's what it's called. And you said Benares was not quite as good as Tamarind.
It's good. It's very good, but it's good in a different way. I really like curries and kind of the, I don't know what to call them, stew based or whatever dishes. And it was not like that. It was like meat dishes that you'd have like rice on the side or something like that. So it was very good.
Well, there it is. So anyway, I will report back on what Mark Shuttleworth has to say and what kind of cute woodland creatures he's abused lately. And then we'll be back.
Colorado. It's not impressive, is it?
I think we're up to about 6,000 to 7,000 listeners these days. We'd like to push it up to 10,000. So tell your friends. And thank you to all you guys who have been listening. As always, send any comments or feedback on the show page or to software@theregister.com. And with that, we will see you again soon.